Welcome to Cabronas y Chingonas, a queer and Latinx podcast that covers topics such as
Dora the Explorer, the first ever Latinx superhero on screen, and the best movie, or Dora and the Lost City of Gold is the best movie of 2019 that I've seen. And it's super self-aware. It's like funny as fuck for all ages. Like when I watched it a couple of weeks ago, it was fucking funny. It comes out tonight or tomorrow, depending on how you want to look at it or when you're listening to this episode, but it's fucking good. Go support.
I haven't seen this, but I endorse this statement.
My only question is, Swiper, is he still swiping?
He's still fucking swiping.
Oh, oh my god.
And not left and right on Tinder. Oh.
A.K.A. Fried Papita, A.K.A. Chencha, A.K.A. Cabrona, A.K.A. Lil Chunky, A.K.A. Young IBS. What's good? What's poppin', Chingona?
A.K.A. Maite, A.K.A. India, A.K.A. Becca, A.K.A. Gorda, A.K.A. Blanquita 2.0. A.K.A. Too many nicknames to remember right now.
A.K.A. Queer Bait.
A.K.A. Queer Bait, yeah. Mm-hmm. Good old days. What's good?
So, today's gonna everything's different. Episode. Yeah, everything's different. Everything's changed. What do you mean?
It sounds so
beautiful,
dramatic. No, but today's episode is gonna be a little bit different. It's a special kind of episode.
Yeah. So, we are super late, but we're kind of celebrating our 2 year anniversary as a podcast.
Hey, air horn was good.
We're taking the opportunity to reintroduce ourselves because we never introduce ourselves on our episodes, and nobody knows that I am Maite,
and I am Fried Papita,
and I am Angel.
Yeah, so Angel's here to let you guys know who the fuck we are, what we're about, and to interview us, basically, because we don't really talk, we haven't really talked about what we do and what we want to do or what we have done for a while.
Yeah, it's been like maybe our first episode we did that, right?
Pretty much.
Yeah. No, ever. And then what, De Colores? And that's it?
Yeah, and we recasted the De Colores episode, right? So this is still gonna have a lot of like media talk in it because it's who we are. So don't worry, not completely left field of
we're still CYC. Obsessed. We'll still bring up every single favorite show and favorite movie.
Right. And but we're gonna hand over the reins to Angel from Let Me Know Podcast, who I actually did this for his podcast. So if you guys want to go listen to that, you definitely should. It's a really interesting conversation that we had on that episode where I interviewed him for his 2 year anniversary.
Hey.
But Angel, please step in whenever you want.
Take it away.
Yeah, well, first of all, I just want to say what an honor it is for me to be able to do this for you guys, especially when Maite did for me. I couldn't ask Fry Papita because she lives in Texas, but yeah. She would have been here. I would have asked you too.
It would have been a group interview.
Yeah. But you know, like I said, it's an honor, especially like to be one of the few straight male guys. I don't even know.
Straight cis males.
There you go. I don't know what cis means. That's why I don't use it. But
it means cisgender. So like so transgender. You know, transgender. Yeah. Like you know, you don't
so this
identify.
This is how where Angel gets educated. That's why I listen to this podcast, honestly, because I get educated little by little, and then I hang out with my thing. She educates me too. So you know, that's why I listen to it. You know, whenever I say something like that's not right, she's like, "Did you mean this?" Like, yeah, that's what I meant.
So, yeah, and that's why I think you're a great interviewer, and I've said this before, because you're super willing to learn. So yeah, but really to finish that thought off, cisgender is like the gender that you're assigned at birth is what you identify with. So okay. I am cisgender. You're a cisgender. I don't know about Fred Avita, but
have you ever discussed how you guys identify?
Definitely on the first episode a little bit, but I mean, hey, brush up won't hurt.
I heard your first episode today, and boom. I don't think you did.
Yeah, I don't really like. I don't know. I think like gender is like the construct. Like I don't believe in the gender binary. Like, but I don't care. Like I don't necessarily care about gender or like how people. You can't misgender me because I don't necessarily believe in either of them. So
just like, are you kind of like me when I think about myself? I just think about Angel. I don't think about
yeah, like, being
a male. Or
yeah,
female.
I don't apply like you know, queens or kings to me. Like, you know, I don't care. It doesn't bother me. But I'm not like a they, them either. My pronouns are just whatever. As long as you don't like cuss me out, I don't care. You can call me they.
What would that be? Like how I identify as Angel, would like, what would my pronoun be? Angel?
Yeah.
Cool. That's a proper noun.
Yeah. I mean, what I'm saying is that like, I don't care.
Okay.
Yeah. You can call me she, you can call me him, you can call me they. None of those things bother me. All
right.
Yeah.
So yeah, so that's what I do on my podcast. Pretty much I learn about people. I learn about my guests little by little. And like I ask questions like that basically to get to know them a little bit. So yeah, and I learn about myself every episode. So yeah, but it's not my podcast. So let's not get all that. So for anybody that does not know, any new listeners, the story is that they never met each other. They just talked on Twitter, mm-hmm. and eventually one day out of nowhere they met up at they met at Pride.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then so what I want to know is, how did the podcast come to be then? You guys never knew each other. You guys were like not aware. And then how did you guys just come up with like, let's do a podcast together?
Well, actually, I had already had a podcast with my other friends. We were doing one just like to shoot the shit. Like it wasn't organized or planned like that much. I already had that podcast, but I wanted to talk about queer topics. I didn't have anyone to talk about like queer Latinx topics other than Maita, because we were talking on Twitter all the time. So one day I just hit her up and I'm like, hey, we should like meet. I have an idea. Like we already go back and forth talking about movies and like queer media period. I was like, let's meet up. And that's when we met up and I was like, dude, let's do a podcast. And she was like, she had never really heard podcasts like that before. She met me and now look at her, like it's her thing, you know?
Yeah. So, I mean, it's actually a little bit extra that to add there. We were a little stuck up and we read an article about like the best queer movies, like the top queer like movies or whatever. And we were like, God, they're missing so many. It's just not good enough. We could do better. And that's when Trevor Pita mentioned the podcasting. And me being who I am, I had to go and research all the podcasts and try and see if anybody had done anything. Like, she wanted to talk about something queer and Latinx. Mm-hmm. I wanted to talk about TV and film. We kind of pushed those two things together and Cabronas y Chingonas came out.
I first told her the name, though, she was like, that's kind of wild. She's like, I like the name, but that's like kind of...
Because I was thinking about it like from a practical standpoint. I was like, you know, we're not going to be speaking Spanish on this show. Uh-huh. And it doesn't have anything to do with TV and film, the title. But it's like now 2 years later, it's like that's who we are.
Yeah.
Like there's no doubt.
So when is your guys' anniversary? Like when was the original 2 years? Do you guys know?
Beginning of June.
June.
Yeah. That's when we first posted our episode.
We had been recording them, I think, in May.
We recorded, April? Yeah, we recorded like a month or so earlier.
So it was just 2 months ago then, right?
Yeah, it wasn't too long ago.
All right, cool. I thought it was like before mine, because mine was in May. So I was like maybe you guys were like April or something.
No, June 1st or 4th. I always get them mixed up.
I never knew.
So how does it feel being like 2 years in, like from the beginning? Like, did you guys think that you guys are gonna get this much support?
No. I thought maybe 30 40 50 maybe 50 people will listen to us, and I thought that would be success, you know. I'd be like, wow, 50 people heard our podcast.
I didn't think like, I don't know that I would even say that we're like a huge success.
No, we're not.
I would just say that we're doing all right, and I think that I didn't really think that a lot of people would really give a shit about what we had to say, specifically me. And like, really, it's only been because of the support of other like Latinx and POC and queer podcasts that we even got here, and because of Auto Straddle, who shouted us out, and all these different outlets that have shouted us out. Like, word of mouth and like support from our community is the only reason that I think we're even where we are.
100% because of the support of the community, and like 50% of that to like Latinos Who Launch. Like,
straight up.
Like, we're not exaggerating. Like, since they've like, I don't know, even whispered our name, it's changed everything.
So like on that, like a whole community, you know, like the queer community, like you guys are representing them. Like, do you guys feel like any pressure on that? Like talking about queer topics or Latinx topics, Like, do you ever feel any pressure on that?
I'll let you answer first, because I might have a different answer than
you. Yeah, you definitely have a different answer than me. I guess the only pressure I feel is when people, like, will specifically DM us about something that me and her have already, like, previously discussed that we weren't going to talk about. We'll get DMs like that, like, hey, are you going to cover this? Are you going to cover that? When are you covering that? And, you know, that's kind of the only time where I feel like, oh, like, people listen. And also, like, that's the only time where I feel, like, obligated to respond to them, and I have to say, like, you know, official press release. This is why. Mm-hmm. This is when. And so that's the only time I feel the pressure to for that.
I feel a lot of pressure, like, all the time. Like, and it's not, it's because I, you know, I judge myself the worst, more than anybody else does. And because we're supposed to be, like, I don't know, I just feel, like, a lot of pressure to be, like, really good about things, like, really, like, smart. Not, I guess smart might be the wrong word about it, but, like, educated on things. And I don't always have the time, you know. I'm not, like, in school anymore, so I'm not just, like, always up to date on everything. But I don't ever want to, like, leave people out, and I want to, like, really get things right and respect everyone, because I know, like, I've seen other people, podcasts or TV shows, and, or, you know, even people, like, in my life that get it really wrong when it comes to either queer people or women or, like, these, all these different facets of my identity of, like, Latinos. Like, they get it so wrong, or they do it really lazily, and they talk about these things in a really lazy way. Like, they're just, like, ticking off a box. Like, yeah. Don't kill gay people, like, that's it. And
hashtag don't kill gay people. Like, you know,
like, I don't want to ever do that to communities that I'm not a part of. Mm-hmm. So that's where I feel pressure, because I don't want to, like, fuck up. I don't want to, I don't want to, like, do the bare minimum on these things. So I push myself to go overboard on a lot of the things that I research. And whenever, like, I feel like we fall short, because I edit the episodes afterwards, so I have to listen to them whether I like it or not. Mm-hmm. And whenever I feel that we fall short, like, I always feel really shitty about it. Yeah. I don't know.
So is there, like, one like, specific episode that afterwards you're like, oh man, like, we could have improved this?
Those beginning, like, episodes.
What'd you say?
Most of the beginning episodes, that's how I feel.
Oh, for you? Oh, okay. Yeah.
Because I was hella drunk. Like, I wasn't, like, kind of buzzing. I was fucked up, like, right at those, like, maybe the first, like, 6 months.
That's wild. I don't feel, I used to feel kind of bad about that too, but, like, then I was like, whatever, it was fine. We have had actually had episodes that we will scrap and we'll just do them again. We've had it, we've done that, I think, twice now. Those episodes actually ended up on patreon.com, where it literally would say, hey, we fucked this up. You can listen if you want. Yeah, there's been definitely times where I'm like, we sound fucking stupid and too drunk, and we're throwing this out, you know. And I know we're not the only ones that do that, so I don't feel bad about it. But yeah,
I guess that, like, that pressure question goes back to that, is like, you have to both be smart but also entertaining, and it's like, we kind of lean into one more than the other each episode. So it's kind of hard. Either I'm not drunk at all and I'm super just trying to be smart. I don't know if I come off as smart, but I try. And then there's the other part where I lean into being drunk. So it's like, I try not to lean into being drunk anymore, though.
Yeah. I rarely drink on the episodes anymore at all.
I drink one beer, so, yeah.
I mean, we all have different ways to relax. Yeah. I like to pamper myself with some chocolate, something sweet. Yes. But The chocolate part, like, you guys were kind enough to bring gansitos, and they were melting, so we'll take care of that at the end of the episode. You know, you guys can see pictures. You gotta pay on patreon.com/CYC podcast. Hey. You know, I don't think so. I'm just trying to help, trying to make some money here.
I'm gonna start selling pictures of you eating gansitos. I love
God. Yeah, but like on your first episode, like, you guys covered 13 reasons why, The Handmaid's Tale, right? One of them, there's a movie and there's a show also, right?
Yeah, I think we just talked about those things. They weren't meant to be the main subjects of the first episode.
Oh. Yeah. Well, my question is, why 13 Reasons Why?
It was just what we were watching at the time. Let's say it had just come out, and, like, it had made us really, made me really angry.
Uh-huh. So, we didn't really have, like, a format back then either. It was just like, hey, let's just talk about what we're watching. It out.
Yeah, because on our first episode, we're going to talk about what's really important to us right now, which for some reason was Winona Earp for me, and it was Mosquita y Mari for her.
I mean, it always is, yeah.
So yeah. So those were the two big things for that episode. And then, like, but we also, you know, like, we didn't know how to, like, limit ourselves to the first 10 minutes of the episode are banter, and then the rest of it are the topics. We just kind of went in on whatever we want to talk about.
It was bad.
Which happened to be 13 Reasons Why and Handmaid's Tale.
It was bad.
Yeah, because, like, I don't know, like, you guys were hating, like, a little bit on some of the characters, and I was like,
definitely.
Now, like, what, 2 years after, like, there's going to be a season 4, but
fucking shit.
They canceled One Day at a Time. That was your episode 2 right there.
Yeah.
So I was like, I wonder how they feel about that. Today I went back and I heard the first 2 episodes. I was like, oh,
that's funny.
The first one was 13 Reasons Why. Still on Netflix. One Day at a Time got taken out. So I wonder.
It's on Pop TV though now.
Yeah, which Pop TV you gotta pay though. It's not on cable normal cable. Network.
Yeah, I gotta get.
Because I've been like Schitt's Creek. It's also on Pop. So and I wanted to go back and watch the new season because it's there and. I found out that you gotta pay for it. So.
Yeah,
I think the strategy is just like continue on the Wonder Time train real quick. But yeah. I think the strategy is that it has to be on a cable network for it to get picked up by somebody else. Mm. But then it's still gonna go to streaming after it airs.
Okay. Okay.
So you think Netflix will pick it back up once it's?
I don't know. No, it's not gonna pick it up, but it'll go to streaming, and I think the streaming service might not be Netflix, but it'll be whatever streaming
maybe
service.
Maybe Hulu or something. Because
it's not Hulu.
I think
Pop.
I think maybe CBS streaming service.
Ooh, that'd be cool.
Damn, now I gotta pay for something else.
I think CBS owns Pop TV.
Mm-hmm, it is.
So I think it'll go to CBS All Access. Don't quote me on that.
Yeah,
that's what I read.
I hope so. That way I can have a reason to buy Pop. Because right now it's just Schitt's Creek and everything else. I don't really watch or I'm not really interested.
Right.
But now, One Day at a Time, I'm really interested on that show. It hit me too, but... I guess the guy ones, the one with the alcoholism, that one was the one that hit me too. Like, even though I don't drink alcohol, but I don't know, the storyline kind of like, I don't know, affected me for some reason.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It was well done. I also think that, like, or going back to 13 Reasons Why, it gets so complicated with these shows because I don't want to support a show like that,
mm-hmm.
which is why we haven't talked about it since the first episode.
Nope.
But I will say... Aurora Guerrero is directing one of those, directed one of those episodes, and we love her. We're going to go see her today.
Yeah.
So yeah. I want to support everything she does.
I support everything she does.
Yeah.
Period. Everything mm-hmm. she does.
So it gets complicated.
Like a music video, she directs like anything when we watch it. So.
She's amazing.
She's an amazing artist.
And like a behind the scenes look, like behind the curtain, like can we just give it like out for them, like 5 episodes? In 1 week, right? And pretty much in 2 days, you guys recorded 5 episodes, right?
Yesterday, we recorded 3.
And one, and you're going to record one after this,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So can we just, like, appreciate that, the work that they put into it? Like, I've never done... I mean, the most I've done is probably, like, 1.5. That's my intro, not the half.
Oh, okay.
I've never had, like 3? That's a lot. Like, it takes a lot of energy off, like, for me, like... Every interview, you're giving out your energy. Or, I mean, like to talk to people and receive their energy and give your energy in return. Like, I just gotta commend you guys for that because
that's amazing. Thanks, man.
Thank you.
It's tough. I do feel sometimes that, like, maybe I put too much into it because we have very limited time sometimes to do interviews.
Uh-huh.
We're a long distance podcast. Like, yeah. I'm here in LA and Fried Papita is in Dallas.
Uh-huh.
So I have to like force her to come out here and be really exhausted and do a lot of work in a very short period of time. And I don't know. I like talking to people about movies and TV like so much that like I can stay hyped forever.
Uh-huh.
But like not everybody's like that, you know, like
me.
normal human people are not like that, and I need to be better probably about respecting that. But it's also like we really do have such a limited amount of time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like fly to LA, and every time that I fly to LA, I'm like, I don't sleep the night before because I try to get the earliest flight, so I get here like at 6 a.m., 7 a.m. The latest I think I got here was like 8 a.m. one time,
uh-huh.
So I don't sleep. I sleep maybe on the plane. I've started to sleep on the plane, so I'm running off like 3-4 hours of sleep, and then she's like, let's go. But I think the good thing about that is that we're both on the same page. Like, people are always like, oh, you're going to LA, you're going on vacation. I'm like, I'm not going to vacation. Like, this is work.
Yeah.
I'm going to go work. And I think we both have the same mindset in that way, and that's really good because I don't come here to like to play.
Uh-huh.
I don't come here for no vacation shit. Like, we're going to work. We're going to get it done. And we're on the same page. And that's what I really like about that is that we're always like, hey, let's go meet here. Let's go do this. Yes, let's go. So I think that's really important to our dynamic too.
So, like, I think the most you've been here is 3 days, right? Or something like
that. In a row, I think it's been 3 days, yeah.
So, will you ever come just for one day to chill? Like, maybe
that's bring the your dream. Girlfriend? I don't know if that's going to be possible this year. Like, just because I take so much time off and I only have a certain amount of PTO for my job, for my shitty office job, I really only have, like, 1 week left. And I just want to spend it with my family. Honestly, I just like I've already given up like a lot of chances to see them throughout the year. So like I think what other people don't realize is like not just like Maite, like period, anybody is they're like, oh, you should come back. You should come back. And it's like, you know what? Like I work nonstop and I just want to see my family for a week. So that would be nice.
All right. So yeah. So you recorded with how many episodes maybe for 2 months and then Maite moved to LA, right? Is that how it happened?
It was longer than that. We probably started recording in April, late April or May of 2017, and I didn't move until November.
Okay.
And so several months. 5 months. But I will say, like all of like September and October of that year, I was traveling. Oh. I was out, and we also used to record every other week, so it was a lot easier.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We upped it to every week.
So now that it's like you guys are far apart, like you mentioned, like how was it in the beginning when you guys were living in the same state compared to now? Like, is it much harder? It's about the same. Like,
it's kind of a roller coaster because we used to we would record 2 episodes,
in a sitting,
yeah, and that way we could like wait, you know, several weeks before recording the next one, and also I was kind of like. Piling them up for when I left. Mm-hmm. I because we didn't know how we were going to record long distance, if it was going to work at all. So we were just kind of like saving a bunch of them up for when I left. And then in my head, I was like, my family lives in Dallas. I'm going to be in Dallas often. And I wasn't wrong. The first year I was in Dallas a lot.
Yeah.
So that's how we kind of went about it. But the other thing that was kind of a roller coaster is that we would just get together for those 4 hours that it took to record 2 episodes. And get wasted.
We just had an audience.
A whole different kind of energy. So then we went long distance, and at first when we were recording long distance, it kind of I didn't like that. People do like those episodes, but I don't. I think that they were like awkward, and a lot of it had to do with we didn't used to FaceTime during those episodes. So when you can't see other people, or at least for me, when I can't see the other person and what they're doing, like how they're reacting, right? I'm like, I don't. Like I can't vibe. Yeah.
So she's a Leo. She needs to
I need to know what's going on with you. I need to be able to read it. So I didn't like it. I didn't like recording like that. So once we got better internet, which helped a lot. There was a lot less lagging, and we got FaceTime added into there. And now I think if it's just a me and her episode, it's better when it's long distance than in person.
Oh, really?
I think so. If it's an interview, I feel like it has to be in person.
Yeah, because I think on one of them, I heard the devil on like one of your episodes. Like,
yeah, Satan.
The second one, yeah.
Came out, yeah.
We had like some sort of weird equipment glitch. We used to have a mixture of analog mics and digital mics. Oh. We cut the digital out. Yeah. Thank God for me, the editor.
It got easier, yeah.
So like what has been like... When you guys are like choosing what episodes or like actually like the topics or the movies or the shows you guys are gonna talk about, like how do you decide like what movie and what TV show to talk about?
Well, sometimes we try to pick something relevant, something that's like popping. Like she did this format where like at the beginning of the month, at the top of the month, we'll try to talk about something new, and then after that, it's kind of like a Patreon episode, and then those are kind of like sometimes we just schedule. On the Patreon, we just talk, schedule, and get everything organized. But usually I still have a long going list of queer movies I want to talk about, and we try to usually get something new and then try to get to a movie and a TV show that match each other in some kind of way, that are similar.
Yeah, it just totally depends, like, what has come out, like, what season is completed, or, like, what movie, like, I don't know. We try to keep it, like, on theme with each episode. It can be hard, right, sometimes, because, like, some movies or some shows are like just too
different,
too unique, I guess. But it's kind of like on a week to week basis, especially lately, like, just trying to figure out what to talk about.
Yeah.
It, And you'd think that because there's so much more now, there's so much more representation. We used to be able to, like, talk about, like, something like Winona Earp, where the minor characters were kind of queer but still white or whatever. And now we moved on to, like, there's main characters mm-hmm. who are people of color or women of color. And we, you know, there's so many of these now. And, like, we don't even know what the fuck to talk about anymore, like, because there's so much. You'd think that it'd be harder, but it's, I mean, it'd be easier, but it's harder. It's like more choices.
Well, also, we want to be respectful to communities that we know nothing about. Mm-hmm. So that's why it took us so long to talk about Pose, or like there's certain things that we don't feel like we should be taking up space in. Mm-hmm. So it's hard for us to decide if we're going to cover that without having someone who actually is from that community to speak directly to us mm-hmm. so that we can be respectful and not say anything, you know, out of pocket, something crazy. We can get corrected immediately and we're not taking up that space. It's really important.
So, like, you just mentioned that, you, like, it used to be, like, the side characters or the best friend was gay or mm-hmm. lesbian or whatever, queer. Mm-hmm. And now the main character, like, happens to be queer. So, like, where do you see media going then, like, now? Like, you see, like, a whole cast now is going to be queer or, like...
Are you the
like
one?
The L-word?
Well, the L-word is getting remade, Generation Q, and they're casting a lot of people yeah. in it that are not white, which is wild. I actually just listened to an interview with the person that's going to be taking over showrunning for it. And she even talks about how, like, she's like, yeah, they fucked up trans representation on the
previous one. They sure fucking did.
You know, like, she, like, really called out some of the stuff that went wrong in the L word. But the thing that she said, funnily enough, talking about how things have progressed and how they're going to progress, she was like, right now, like, I'm going to make this as best as I can. Like, I'm going to do the best that I can to represent everybody properly and to do really well. She's like, but no matter what the fuck I do right now, no matter how respectful and smart I am about it, in 30 years somebody's gonna call out some dumb shit that I did today.
That's fucking fact though. Let's call out culture.
Yes. She's like and then she kind of paused and she's like, and I can't wait for that. I can't fucking wait.
That's so cool.
You know what I mean? I can't wait for like shit to progress that much. Uh-huh. Like, and honestly, our podcast shit maybe in 30 years will probably be outdated.
Super outdated, dude.
Yeah.
But that's why you keep doing it, you know, so you can stay on top of it. So
yeah, that's how you learn, though. You just gotta keep going and keep trying. Yeah.
Like, what would be like your dream goal for like media or like for POC and queer characters in media? Like, where would you like it to go?
I would like to see like queer, poor Latinx folk, which is not something we get to see a lot. That isn't like a fucking tragedy porn. Like, mm-hmm. I want to see like queer, brown, poor people be happy. Like, I want that to be, like, a possibility. Right now, that's totally what we don't have. But I, one day, hopefully.
I want, like, every, like, facet of, like, everybody's identities to have multiple options for viewing, right? Like, some, like, straight white guy, like, no matter what the fuck they're into, they can find a show that's about them.
Yeah.
Like, you throw a rock at a subject. Like, you can find something with a white dude that's doing that shit. You know, that's a doctor, that's a... bocce ball player, I don't know, like, name anything ball. Like, literally they represent them in every single bocce little ball. Minuscule way. Like, he has a foot fetish, let's make a show about it. Doesn't fucking matter. But for Latinos, it's like drugs or
gun dealer,
being too poor,
guns,
like
violence,
yeah,
or stereotypes, you know, like, basically.
I want like a Latina who identifies as 10 other things to be able to like have a show for each one of those fucking things. I just want options for like all the identities. Like, it's not, you know, it's not fair that like only one group gets to have a variety of representations.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that'd be fucking dope.
So like now, 2 years afterwards, like fast forward, how do you feel you've done like representing like queer folks in media and POC in media? I think that's a finished thought, right?
Yeah.
All right, cool.
Like, how have we done talking about representation?
Like, how do you feel like... So, in the beginning, what was your goal for the podcast? Or, like, what did you want to accomplish?
I think it was... Yeah, it started off as kind of a ego thing, no? Right? Like, we really thought that we had, like, better opinions or, like, had more research. And, like, there were certain things that, like, yeah, like, people weren't talking about that we ended up talking about. Now people want to talk about that shit that we were talking about, but like but
yeah, they do
now, you know. That's not really what we aim for anymore. Like, now we really are on like, I feel like we're on an endless scavenger hunt, just always looking for the next thing.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, it not just that, like, I don't know if it was so much ego, it's just like
for me
for you for her it was ego. For me, I was like, I was reading all these like reviews of like best queer movies in media, and what made me mad is that like I didn't see any like POC or any like queer Latinx movies at the top or even in the middle. They're all kind of at the bottom because I looked at who was writing it, and it was always just like a white person writing these like lists. I don't care if they're queer, they're still white, right? And so we needed more nuance. We needed to be more true. Like, the queer experience isn't just limited to like white folk. So that's what kind of upset me. And I was like, you know what? Like, why aren't like brown people or you know, not even not brown, fuck brown. Why aren't Latinx folk, all of us, because we're everything, why aren't we talking about what we like? And why doesn't that matter? Who decided that the white folks' opinion got to matter, not ours? So that's why I wanted to make something where we could talk about it.
And like for my date, like, is your ego fed? Like, with 2 years in, like, you feel like your ego is like...
It wasn't that I was trying to like feed my ego. It was more like that I just wanted somebody to do a better job, and I thought that that was me.
Okay.
Or, you know, yeah.
So how do you feel you're doing so far?
I'm not the only person out there fighting for this anymore. Like, I see that now, and it's definitely something that is very recent. Like, literally, it's been within the last 2 years that people started getting really passionate about this. Like, this is all post the podcast, but when we started the podcast,
we're the only ones.
I think, yeah, I felt like I was the only one that was shouting out into space about this shit. So, yeah, I mean, there was a lot of, like, white queer people shouting out about queer things, but mainly white queer things, and yeah, so there was that. So
yeah, it wasn't like necessarily that for me, it wasn't that I thought I could do it better, it's just like me wasn't there, I wasn't existing, period. There was no Fried Puppy that talking about this shit, so it's like, well, fine, I'll just sacrifice myself, I'll go. It'll be me.
Like, but how do you feel you've done so far, like with every episode you've done? I think, so far,
like, I'm not as hard on myself because, like, to me this is just like fun. I'm not trying to be like anyone else's idea of perfect. I've already made peace with the fact that I'm not. So what I'm trying to do is just do it the best that I can and be completely open and willing to learn and change and grow. And so I see the growth from like the very first episode to like now, who I am as a human being. And I think the podcast has actually helped me with that as well. It's just to like open myself up and just be better, be a better human, period. And that's what I'm taking away from this. That's why I love it. It just makes me see things that I would already see, but now I have to explain it to someone else, and it changes it.
Mm. All right, so right now this part might get caught out, but I gotta ask it for me. Just so Donald Trump came into office. I know this is not
a public topic,
and I want to kind of hit you. You got your political psych major, or you graduated as political science, right?
Yeah.
And I know like politics really doesn't like fit in this, especially Donald Trump, but. Yeah. How did Donald Trump becoming president, did like kind of like encourage you guys to make this podcast? Like, so you guys could have some visibility out there?
Because
you already didn't have some, you know? And like, was this kind of your part of like, fuck it, like we have to now definitely like put this out there?
I don't think consciously I was doing that. I don't think it was like a conscious decision, like, because politics to me doesn't. It carries a weight, but I wouldn't blame it always on Donald Trump. I think blaming him is scapegoating racism as a whole. So I wouldn't give him that credit. That's stupid. He's not the problem. The problem is racism. The problem is white supremacy. And he's not the leader of that. It's been the KKK. It's been since the existence of like humans and civilizations and everyone. This is not new. Racism is like a new thing. So that's why I just need to correct that. Like, it's not Donald Trump. It's white supremacy that's been a global thing. And it's not just happening in the United States. Fascism is happening in Europe. It's spreading across Europe. Fascism is spreading all through the Middle East. It's always existed in Latin America. And that's why people are trying to escape that fascism to a new one. But to say it's him, that's a scapegoat for racism. No, I don't think he had anything to do with it. I think we just found ourselves mature and growing at that same time that we're seeing all this hate being thrown at like queer Latinx folks, but I don't think I consciously ever did that.
Yeah, no, it was the last thing on my mind when it came to this podcast. But I mean, tying in a little bit to what Robbie was saying, like, yeah, like white supremacy and like how much value is put into their opinion, like that kind of triggered us, right? Like, it was kind of like, okay, like, you guys are missing so much, you know, like, so,
yeah, we live in Texas, super, so, like, super
indirectly, yeah,
we both lived in Texas together at the same time, and it's different, it's a completely different vibe from being in California. All you see is, like, Trump stickers out there, you see a bunch of, like, Dallas Strong blue stripe flags,
Blue Lives Matter bullshit,
like, was born there, so it's, and it's really dangerous to be, like, especially a black person or someone who's undocumented in Texas, even in sanctuary cities that, that's not a real thing anymore. And so, like, yeah, it feels dangerous in Texas, as it does literally anywhere in the United States or anywhere in the world right now, but Texas feels like a certain brand of racist that we can't really describe, we just have always felt it, we're grown up with it, but it feels completely different here, and that's why I'm just like, oh, it's a different kind of space.
Yeah, because, like, I noticed, that's something I kind of noticed, like, a lot of us kind of popped up
at during
that
time.
Year. Like, that year, like for the same thing for mine, like, I didn't really think about it. Like, I want to be out there just so I can have a voice, because I felt like he was going to, like, you know, take it away or anything. But, like, yeah, like, something like when I was listening to you guys mentioned that, and I, like, he got elected, you guys said that, I was like, wait, they kind of been around the time I started, you know? So, like, maybe, like, subconsciously, like, we did this, but I just want to get your guys' opinion. And kind of talk about something, like, that you love, you know, you love politics. So I was like, let me throw something for a crap upbeat that real quick.
Thank you. Yeah, I got to, because I don't really get to talk about my degree, but it's.
Well, I mean, it doesn't fit in the podcast.
It doesn't. Like, I'm not, like, a talking head for that.
But still, you know, I wanted to at least.
No, thank you.
Like,
yeah.
87 episodes in so far as today, they are recording. Like, and we have pretty much run the same boat. Like, where I have 80 episodes, 87. You guys have 87. I noticed, I was like, yeah, we're twins. Probably by, like, the end of this, like, whenever you release it, you'll probably have more than me. Because I tend to take a lot of breaks, especially lately. Like, I've been getting sick. But enough of me. I keep forgetting. It's not about me. You know, I don't know. I'm excited to be here. I like this. I like you guys. You guys know I listen to you guys pretty much every week, except the Patreon episodes. But I gotta get my finances, you know, straight for that. But once that happens, I kind of just, I want to pay the highest one, the
Arcoiris,
and suggest the topic just so I could be on your show.
I mean, that was my idea. You could definitely do that.
Like, not yet. Like, let me wait a little bit. Especially right now, I'm
planning. Get your money right. Get your money right.
Like, but you're on the show right now.
No, I know, but before this, like, because I didn't know I was going to be part of this, so the whole time, that was my way to get in. I was like, I'm going to have to pay, I don't care, but at least, especially, like, now Schitt's Creek is on, and I could actually talk about Schitt's Creek.
She's your girl.
Yeah, and then, I mean, hopefully you guys cover that, and, because I really like Daniel.
We can talk about it now.
All right, Daniel, I love his story. Like, I love them, period. Like, first they started, like, really, like, bougie and stuff, but then now as, like, the story keeps going, like, you see them grow. The only one that hasn't grown as much is the mom. She still thinks they're gonna leave, but, like, the rest of the family, spoiler alert, I don't know if I ruined anything by whatever, like, everybody's just growing. Like, David got his own business, the dad's dad, I forgot his name, he got his own business, the daughter has her own business, the mom still is trying to go back into Hollywood and stuff. But, like, I like how he got booed up, you know, like, out of nowhere. He helped his boo get come out the closet, you know, like, come out.
Oh, wow.
His family didn't know. Oh, wait, you probably don't know this yet, huh? Spoiler again.
I've never seen the show.
You knew that, right?
I knew some of that.
Yeah. Oh,
yeah. It's so Schitt's Creek, like, to me, is made completely worth it. Because of the main queer character, which is, it's a guy who's pansexual. And
Daniel,
that's,
yeah. And I like the way they addressed it.
That's very rare. That's very rare.
Like, the way they explained it, it made it easy for me.
The wine?
So, yeah.
The wine metaphor?
Yeah, it's like, yeah, sometimes I rosé, this and that. Like, she meant, but it kind of hurts Stevie, you know. That's his best friend.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she was trying to see if he wanted, like, to do something with her. And then, like, she asked him, and then.
I think she was confused about it. She was like. She thought that he was gay, and he was like, he's like, well, I do like men. Uh-huh. He's like, let's just say, like, I like white wine, but I also like red wine, sometimes a little rosé. I really like that explanation because it's like so
very clear.
Like,
yeah,
it's so inclusive. I don't know.
Also, like that, his parents didn't like really care. Like
they didn't know either. They didn't know either. That was just super funny. They were like, what?
I thought they knew.
You can see the dad have a little moment where he's confused. He's like about pansexuality in general. But it's like, yeah, and it's never violent. It's never like aggressive or hurtful. And there's multiple like queer characters, not just gay, not just lesbian, not just straight. You know what I mean? Like they're on spectrums, and that's pretty rare to see.
And like they, I mean, they could like maybe bring some more people of color. Like,
don't it's a have, very white show.
Yeah,
very white like, show.
The person that knows me is Bob. He knows the crap out of me.
Oh God, he's the guy that was on the scary movies where he's like, my germs. That guy.
No, not the other guy. The
Bob?
Guy. He, yeah, Bob. He owns a garage.
Oh, he's the dude that lets him have the office or whatever.
Yeah, he knows the
he's crap super out minor. Of me.
But a little thing, like, you do have to apply the 3-episode rule, like, that you guys have. Because the first two, you're probably not going to like. You're going to get annoyed by the dad, most likely. But still, like, soldier on, watch it. Because it does get entertaining. More towards the end of the season, to be honest. So that's, I mean...
The end of the, like, the 5th season, you mean?
No, like, the end of the, first season.
Oh,
like,
okay.
That's when it gets good, towards the 2nd season. Like, the last two seasons, like, that, you guys, you haven't watched it. Probably Pita hasn't watched it, but my dad, like, I was trying to do my best not to ruin for her, because she told me not to ruin for her.
Yeah. I might have ruined a little bit for her. I don't like spoilers. Like, earlier, we were watching Dairy Girls, and Pita's like, oh, I don't give a fuck. It's not Game of Thrones. I was like, yo, don't spoil anything for me. Like, I'm a bitch about it. Like, don't do it.
I kind of did that, so which part did I ruin? You didn't
know? No, don't worry about it. Okay. I'm not mad.
She's not, like, serious. She's just like, oh, damn.
Yeah, well, that's something you guys should watch. I don't want to go into detail because, obviously, like, you guys have to know about it, like, my dad and Fry would be thought to be able to at least know and talk a little bit more. So, still, I just want to put it out there for you guys. Go check it out. It's on Pop. So, One Day at a Time is also on Pop, right?
It's going to be, yeah.
And so, Schitt's Creek is actually on Netflix, too.
Yeah, the first three or four.
Yeah.
Yeah, well... But the good ones are the last, season 5, and I haven't seen season 6, but season 5.
There's a season 6?
There's going to be,
yeah. Oh, okay. It hasn't come out yet.
No, yeah. Season 5 is already out,
yeah,
but only in Canada, because that's where they film it. And it's originally like Kim's Convenience. It's a show from Canada, so you gotta wait. I love
Kim's Convenience.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, so good.
It's a good one.
And then but season 6 is going to get good. There's, I really want to ruin it for you, but I can't, because that's the reason why. Like, I like it so much because the chemistry between David and his boyfriend, like, one's, like, bougie and he's coming down, but the other, his partner, he's, like, really down to earth. Like, he, like, pretty much talks to him, like, no, this is how it's really done. Like, I know you had everything, you had money, but, like, no, like, us normal folks, this is how we really live. This is how you're supposed to do it. So, it's a really good show. So, guys, check it out. Don't check it out. I don't get paid for it. I'm just saying, I like the character, and there's queer characters in it, so I thought it applied to the show. All right,
yeah.
Gosh,
you don't have to apologize for
yeah,
it.
You don't.
It's okay.
Well, I mentioned One Day at a Time, and that's pretty much the show that's been constantly on your what, 3 seasons, right?
Yeah,
and 3 episodes you devoted to.
Very well, 5 actually.
Yeah,
more.
Five episodes.
One per season, and then we did one that was kind of like a.
Save
like Odette. A reaction episode to it being canceled. And then we had another episode where we interviewed one of the writers of the first 3 seasons, just Michelle Badia.
Yeah.
So like, how did, I guess, disappointed that like CBS, like one of the main like networks, didn't pick it up?
I don't think that they could have in that way. No. I don't, like, not on a main network show. Like, how often do you see that, right? Like, CBS, ABC, Fox, like, NBC, they don't really pick up. I think Brooklyn Nine-Nine is one of the first times that I've seen them cross pick up from each other.
Well, they did the same thing with that racist Tim Allen show. He's on Fox now, I think.
That one was an ABC. Yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, I don't really, honestly, them, nobody picks up from Netflix. Uh-huh. Like, when Netflix cancels a show, that shit is dead. Like, this is unheard of.
Yeah.
Like, that's why I was really worried.
But I mean, it never happened. It wasn't even like over views though. They had 8 million views. Like they released the numbers on it.
Right. I won't pretend to know what the Netflix model is. It's just bullshit that they canceled it.
Yeah.
But yeah. So honestly, like, I can't be mad at a big network because technically CBS did pick it up just on one of their cable networks.
But can we be real? Like, the amount of support it does not get from the Latinx community.
One at a time.
Yeah.
How so?
I don't know. I talk to people in my life that don't watch it. Like, period. They're like, oh, I heard about it. It's weird. It's corny. Like, I hear more people tell me it's corny than they've seen it.
I see people on the internet.
They're from, like, other states. But, like, in Texas, I don't hear a lot of people talking about, you know, One Day at a Time like that.
Yeah. I mean, anybody that's ever watched it in my life watches it because you did it.
Yeah.
But I also think that it's a sitcom. Like, who watches sitcoms anymore? For being honest, I think I might be the last person that likes 30-minute comedies anymore. I fucking love them. Like, I like sitcoms. Too. Yeah.
You're not the only one.
But no. You know what I mean. Like, I'm exaggerating. Yeah. But yeah, so it's not super surprising to me. Like, honestly, a lot of people in my life, they don't even, if it's not on Netflix, they don't watch it. Like, and I know One Day at a Time is on Netflix. So, but I don't know. The point is that I don't know that I've worried too much about like the Latinx community not supporting it enough. I think in general as a whole, the Latinx community doesn't support its shit,
period.
And yeah, like there's other communities that are marginalized that
stick
really
together.
Fucking like hype up their own, like they really put each other on. And because I think it's because of the way that the Latino community is so split up, right? Because there's Afro Latinos, there's white Latinos, aka my bitch ass, and there's
the culture,
everything
is different.
In between
the culture,
it's like
different.
We separate ourselves, yeah, by country, by like the color of our skin, by everything, like we, you know,
we
by,
find
by
ways
which, by fucking state, you know, we find, yeah,
we find ways to make ourselves different from each other.
Exactly.
And it doesn't make sense.
So like somebody's gonna be like, why would I watch One Day at a Time? They're like white
Cuban,
Cubans.
That's what I hear. Oh,
you
about
know,
that Cuban people.
It's like so fucking what? Like, they're, do you know, like, yes, like Latin America like has so many countries in it that are so different. Like, not everything is Mexico. That's 100% true.
Oh god, yeah. People who center Mexico. Lord.
Yeah, like,
and we're Mexican. Yeah, like,
so I get it, like that's totally true, but it's also like we have quinceañeras, you know what I mean? Like, we have overbearing abuelas, like the matriarchy, like that's a big thing for us. Like, we have so many commonalities, and like I said earlier, like I want us to have options, and this is
nuance.
Just one option in the Latino community. Like,
we are not a monolith.
We put them up, we get more like more shit like that. We have to show that, like, we can really...
It's okay,
like,
to be different, you
that
know?
We have to put our money where our mouth is. Like, we can show that we can put our money out, too. I don't know.
And our attention. I think that's what we do, is we give attention, which is something I think filmmakers want, everyone wants. And we're over here, like, we're going to pay attention to the things we like on purpose. We're going to call out the things we like on purpose because they exist. There are Latinx folks making things. We shout out Aurora Ghetto almost every episode because we just... That's one of the few representations we have, right? Like, we got to stick to it. We got to keep supporting each other. So, I don't know.
So, how do you think it's going to do on pop? You know, like, Netflix was more available than pop is, you know? So, do you think it'll last? Or do you think it'll just be one season and that's it?
I don't know. I can barely... Like, there's so many things that are going to change. One, they lost a bunch of writers.
Yeah.
Two, the episodes are going to be shorter and they have to be built for commercial breaks. Yeah. And three, it's much less accessible while it's airing, and it's going to be probably going to be on a week-to-week basis. But it's still going to end up on a streaming platform. Mm. It's still the same showrunners, and showrunners have, I would say, like, the vast majority of the creative control. So, like, yes, they're missing some important voices, but the main one is there. So it could really go any way. Like, it just depends. Like I said, people need to step up. Like, the Latinx community needs to step up and, like, do
support
their thing. Yeah.
I don't know. I hope. I don't know.
Though. I hope y'all do that shit.
We discussed the past 2 years, so let's discuss the future now. So, like, my dad's a writer, like, you guys knew that, and... Frapapita business over here, she's about government and stuff, and but right now she's not using her degree, I guess.
No, I'm not.
So, like, what's next for you guys? Like, are you guys going to focus on your degree a little bit, or?
Yeah, I want to, like, switch careers. I don't want to go into politics for the same reason why I got my degree in it. And now I'm like, nah, I'm good. I don't want anything to do with that shit. I don't know. I want to switch careers. I want to maybe go for my, like, this is so boring and so real. It's a little real to say, like, to our listeners, but I just want to be, like, an insurance adjuster. I just want to make more money, live a better life, buy a house, and be boring with my girlfriend. Well, like,
that's what my girlfriend does, so.
Yeah.
And thanks to her, we live in this place, so.
Yeah, like, you know? Same. I just want to, like, nice place, chill. By the way. Yeah. It's super, super organized and neat. I help
sometimes sweeping here and there, you know.
It's nice.
But, yeah, and for my, you mentioned, I think in your last episode, the regular episode, that you wrote something because Midsummer inspired you. So, like, what about you? Are you going to focus more on your writing? Because I've been trying to, like, I messaged you, like, hey, have you worked on your writing yet?
Yeah.
Like, are you working on it? So,
I had that question too, Mitchell.
Yeah, I did. I wrote a little bit. It was a really, like I mentioned in the previous episode, it was, like, a very emotional piece of writing that was inspired by, like, the blending of reality and you know, weird shit, and centering a person that's gone through a trauma. So those three elements were really what I did. So it's nothing like Midsommar, but it's also, like, very inspired by that blending and that particular mix of elements.
Yeah.
So that was a really short piece that I did. I definitely want to incorporate writing into my, like, daily life, which is really, really hard to do.
Yeah.
Because, like, you have to stay inspired, or you always have to have, you have to have time. I mean, it depends on what kind
of. Do you have, like, a ritual for when you start writing?
No, I don't have a ritual. I have in the past when I, like, if I have, I have a specific script that I was writing for a week, and every single day I would sit down and I would make the same tea, sit in the same spot, put on, like, the same album, and I would write for, like, as long as I could until I fell asleep. And that came out to be a really good script. I'm really, really proud of that one. I want to expand on that one. I just haven't gotten to it yet. But I definitely want to do more of it. Right now I'm really focused on, like, keeping my head above water. Like, you know,
LA's, surviving is real.
LA is a tough city to live in sometimes, especially for me right now. So it's hard to be inspired when you're stressed, when you're sad, yeah, when you're all kinds of things. So I'll see where that takes me. But yeah, I'm definitely, especially lately, just because of all the people that we've been talking to for the podcast, I'm really inspired to, like, create something. Like, I'm a writer and that's what I want to do.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not, like, at the moment interested in directing or producing or anything, but I kind of want to produce and direct something just because I want to have, like, a visual piece instead of just a written piece. So that's kind of a next goal that I have, is to, like, get together with a bunch of my amazing, amazing friends that you guys are going to be hearing from soon and see what we can do together.
Yeah. Well, tell them that I want to be an extra. I think I know what you're talking about. And I want to be extra, just making dumb faces or having, like, I want to be the hated one. Like, I don't mind. Extra. I've never acted in my life, but, like, as long as they give me a line, I think I could do something with it. I don't know.
Yeah, I think we're gonna be extras today.
Yeah.
Oh,
and right. And a little excited. something we'll right. announce later.
Yeah, I'm really hyped for it.
Yeah.
So there you guys go, a little exclusive behind the scenes, which you guys are gonna see, so I don't know how exclusive that is. You know? But yeah. So, like, well, what does the future hold for your podcast, I guess?
Hopefully, more live shows, because I love having an audience. I love people being there and seeing the looks on their faces and hearing the laughs in person, because you guys can tell me, like, oh, like, I thought the show was really funny, but seeing it in real life is the most, like, amazing thing that I've experienced because of this podcast. So hopefully more live shows, and hopefully
we're different with an audience, both of us.
Yeah. And hopefully like more guests that are, you know, because we've had great guests, amazing guests, but like I always strive to have, like, the more influential, the better.
Yeah.
Because it's like, you can really take their word for it. You know what I mean? Like, if we had, like, a freaking Gloria Kelly Calderon on this podcast, like, I would wild out. Like, it would be amazing to hear from somebody like her.
Yeah. I just, live shows are cool. I think we perform better, too, during live shows. We just, the banter's there. Our silliness is there. we're nervous, so we perform. There's something very performative about us both that I didn't think we express until we have an audience. Yeah, just keep going. Just keep doing it. It really helps me out. It helps my own, like, mental health to do it. But sometimes, lately, I've been burnt out in literally everything. So, hopefully we just keep going. So, that's my goal for it.
Well, I only discussed, like, I only touched up on, like, the 13 Reasons Why and One Day at a Time. But, like, what has been your proudest moment of your podcast,
I guess? Dude, I have that one off the top of my head. When we interviewed Aurora Guerrero, to me, that was my life, like. Like
that's Mosquita
and Mosquita and Mari. That was like, I saw that movie in like in 2011. I never in my life thought that I would be like getting to talk to her about that. Like for me, that like changed everything for me. And it meant a lot to me. It was really special just because I didn't think that's where my life was going to be, or I didn't think that's where I was going to be in what, 2017. So that was like the first time. Was that the first? I think second time I flew out here. I don't know. That
sounds right.
It was like super short notice too. It was just like, hey, you need to get your ass out here. And I was like, for Guerrero Guerrero, I'm on my way tomorrow. Like yeah. I immediately requested the day off. I spent all my money on that flight and I was like, I'm going. So I was already in debt and I was like, fuck it. It's worth it. And now I haven't gotten out of that debt, but because I keep coming out here, but it was completely worth it to me. It was my whole life. Just kind of like people who know me, people who've known me since 2010, it really, they know what it meant to me. And it like, completely changed everything for me. It was so like, I don't know, I just felt blessed, like in her presence I felt blessed. So it was an incredible episode for me.
Yeah, meeting her was one of the most amazing moments for me too, but I'm not gonna double up on it. I think Klexicon was one of the biggest ones that comes to mind because of this, to me, like the personal significance, because of the time that we started the podcast, it was in a really, like, representation specifically for like lesbians was so bad, and it had me in a bad place. Like, it put me like a damper on my like own like self-esteem and shit. Like, I was just like really angry about it, and Klexicon was born out of that. That whole con was like, that's why it was created. So to then, like, a couple years later to be asked to be a panelist at that same convention was really like full circle.
You were attending this since the beginning, right?
Yeah, I went the first year because I like, I've gone every single year. And though the festival definitely has its like downsides and shit like that, it's not perfect by any means, but the significance behind it and the significance behind like representation, like it was just, it was a wild moment to see like our names and our profiles and my name on that list, like that, next to like all these amazing creators and actors and stuff. Like, that was a crazy moment for me. So I would say Klexicon.
Or that time we got put in the iTunes or Apple Podcast like playlist for like
Hispanic. Unfortunately, it was like Heritage Month or whatever.
But
we were on the top like list for, and we got a lot of listeners from that too, for on iTunes. We were on one of those.
We're in the same list as like Bodega Boys, and that's where I was like, I made it, mom.
We were right next to oh my god, what's her name from Ingobernable, her podcast.
She has a podcast.
Yeah, she has a podcast. Anyways, we were like, we're amongst the stars.
Yes, it felt there, cool.
And that's like, as far as our success, I think those are the things. But the best things to come out of our podcast have been all of our friendships.
Yeah,
like me and you, Angel, and like us and Latinos Who Lunch, like those men are my life. I love them.
They're amazing.
I talk to them all the time. De Colores Radio, we love them to death. Talk to them all the time.
Shout out Library
like,
Bay.
Yeah, me and Pat like FaceTime all the time. Like all these people, like we barely knew each other, and then after like Podcast Radio, for example,
yeah,
like these are my friends. This is my community. Like I dropped everything and left my whole life and all my people behind in Texas. So they kind of replaced that, and that was like, I don't know what I would have done without them.
Well, I mean, Podcast Stereo did have like an impact on a lot of us, you know. Even for me, like, that's how I found out about you guys. I found out about Viva La Round Girls. Like, so many podcasts that I was like following, and like, I'm hoping to get Viva La Round Girls again. Like,
I love my mission them.
Is to get them back on the mic and hopefully reamp their podcast, even with Luna on the background.
It don't matter. Yes, Brian, like, don't matter.
So so for any fans that listen to this that used to listen to Viva La Round Girls, that's my mission.
I miss them. Every Wednesday is like empty without them.
Yeah, yeah. So I mean, like, you know, life is life.
Life,
you know,
is life.
It doesn't all work out all the time. But my mission is that. So hopefully by the end of the beginning of next year, I'll make that happen. So yeah. So,
please do. Please do.
What was I gonna ask you guys? There's two questions, but I'm leaving the most important one last, because, you know, like, that's a little bit more serious, you know? But, like, what is your dream guest and dream event that you could host or be part of? Since you mentioned Plexicon right now and you already took part of it.
I thought it would be cool to, like, to do, like a movie night. Like, to have, like, a fest. Not, like, a festival, but just have, like, an event where you show different queer movies. Queer Latinx movies in the community. People come out, go see them. Because, I mean, they're not even really talked about. No one pays attention to them. Like, we got to shout out our own. So, maybe, like, creating that in the future at some point where, like, one weekend, one Friday a month, like, they show one queer Latinx movie. That would be fucking dope.
If there's ever enough movies to even do that.
You know? 1 month, no.
She's dreaming, really. She's like, this is a very practical thing that you're mentioning there. That's a great idea. But for me, of an existing festival... Not even a festival. I'm dreaming, like, wild big. Dude, I want to go to, like, the Oscars. Like,
wow.
Yeah, or, like, the Emmys. The Emmys, for me, obviously, the Emmys would be, like, making a lot more sense. But, yeah.
I mean, just focus more on writing, then. I'm sure you could do it.
Dang, call out Cole.
Being realist, you know, you're my friend, and I want to make sure you, like...
But that would be me personally, yeah, going. I'm talking about, like, with the podcast. You can get us all in.
I was, like,
friend. Oh, like, friend, we interview people there?
Yeah.
Oh, that would be dope.
Yeah, like,
I was like, on that red carpet, going to the Oscars.
Right? Like, you know what I mean? Like, that would be cool. Like, yeah, as a podcast, it'd be cool to, like, go to the Oscars and the Emmys and
having
stuff.
Having some kind of legitimacy.
Being able to, like, you know, judge at, festivals, like, Cannes, yeah, and stuff like that. Like, it'd be really cool to be taken seriously as media critics. I think we'd have to step our game up way up to actually be able to do that. I don't think we're nowhere anywhere.
We just
near
don't
that.
Have that time right now. That it,
I definitely
know.
Try.
Yeah.
I try really hard, but, you know.
We both try pretty hard.
And then, like, as far as a favorite guest, that's a really hard one. I feel like, I don't know, like, fucking Guillermo del Toro, Alfonso Cuarón, one of those big Oscar-winning Mexican directors would be really cool.
Uh-huh.
Just because it's, then I know them.
Well, you met one, right?
No.
Goro, wasn't it the one we saw, that movie?
What movie?
With the moon at the end, the eclipse one.
You talking about the
Eugenio Derbez?
The friend one, the one we went to see.
The one where they have dinner.
Yeah.
It's the same guy who did Casa de Flores.
Oh.
You met him.
Yeah, but he's not...
It was in him?
He's not one of the Oscar dudes.
I thought you said Coro.
Cuarón and Guillermo del Toro, Alfonso Cuarón, and I always forget the third guy's name.
Iñárritu.
Yeah, one of those, the big three. Okay. It'd be really cool to have one of them on. All
right.
I want Lena Waithe.
You know, that'd be
fucking dope.
Honestly, if we had shot our shot earlier, we might have had her.
Oh, no, it's the Queen Mary in the background.
Oh.
Or the port.
Yeah. Sounded like the phone vibrating.
No,
Lena Waithe, like, followed us for a while, and she, like, she listened to our episode about her a while back, and so she was following us on everything, and then, like, she got too big.
She got an Emmy.
She got way too big, and, like, I think her PR team went and took us out.
She followed us.
Yeah,
she listened to our episode, and she, because we know, because she was literally quoting it back to us, and we're like, oh, that's what happened in the pod.
Yeah.
So she's a real ass one.
If we had shot our shot earlier, we might have had her on.
Yeah, before her Emmy, which is when we started talking about her. By the way, we talked about her way before she got her Emmy.
She had like 10,000 followers.
Yep.
Girl got like 10 million now.
Yep.
Yeah.
Shoot your shot still. I mean, you're not gonna lose anything.
No, PR is gonna, like, delete.
She's never gonna see it.
She doesn't have time, though.
Well, when,
yeah, that's true.
I follow her on Instagram. That woman does not have time.
Mosquita Mari, right? The director. Did you feel like she was a realistic get ever, like, before?
Well, she's here in LA, and she's a very community based person.
Yeah.
She's very down to earth. She talks to Julio Salgado. Regularly works with people that we'd already had on the show.
Okay.
She's also blowing up now. You know, Eva DuVernay, like, you know, has been very
always been
awesome
supportive
about, like, putting her career up ever since she directed for Queen Sugar. But Aurora Guerrero
she wouldn't go see
Mosquita
Mari.
She is.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. She's amazing, though.
She's not, like, She's different.
She's underappreciated as a thing. Honestly. I guess that's where we're leading to. Yeah. It's like, she's amazing.
She doesn't get her flowers when she should.
Yeah, like, she deserves 10 milli.
Yeah.
But she doesn't have it right now.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I guess as the listeners, we have to make our part and maybe just bug them.
Listeners have. They've come through. I've gotten people starting watching Mosquita Amari because of that episode.
Get past their, like, PR blah, and then...
Oh, we're all going to go ham.
Like, Area 51 style. Like, like, they should all of us, but one of us is bound to cross that line. And, I guess the most important question I have is, like, seriously, like, are you guys going to bring the harmonicas and guitar back?
No. No. Because, you know, we had this idea to be musical on this podcast, and it was abused. And the editor did not like that shit.
She mad because I used to blow the harmonica right into the microphone because my voice already carries.
And
because
I was in the middle of a sentence and she'd be like, D-d-d-d-d. I'm like, I'm
talking. I was hella drunk and you let me use a harmonica. So it's going to get used.
I didn't let you. You had your own.
Yeah, I went to go buy my own harmonica.
She bought her own harmonica.
Just to bring it on the episode. And then I just randomly annoy my girlfriend sometimes. I'm walking around the apartment. I'm like, we're in the car. And I'm like, hey. And then I start
blowing. That's abuse.
So I guess Glow, when she listens to this episode, like, you could thank me for reminding her she has the harmonica.
Yeah. Thank you so much. She's going to be so mad. I'm going to go home and get it and just pop it right back out. She's going to love it.
I think that's going to be enough interrogation for today. Hopefully you guys have me on again for the 3rd year anniversary. Maybe we could make this a thing.
Yeah,
like, you interview me for my 3rd year, I interview you guys for your 3rd year.
Down.
You know, like I said, this is a privilege for me to be able to do this, especially I listen to you guys every week, and to be able to be part of your episodes, I mean your podcast, I guess it's an honor for me. So hopefully I did you guys justice and I was able to pretty much bring out what you guys wanted me to bring out from you guys. So I don't know.
Bless. Thank you so much for doing this.
Yeah, yeah.
And taking time out of your life. It means a lot to us.
Now since it's the end, I think I could talk a little bit about myself.
Yeah. Right.
So if you guys enjoyed the style, that type of questions I did, that's pretty much what I do on my podcast. Like, I just interview people, so had practice. That's why this episode is number one ever played. So obviously. But I had practice doing my episodes, and I do interview people in queer media or
everything.
Queer period.
Everything.
So, don't think that I just focus on straight male cis. New word. Word of the day. Cis male. Well, yeah, and I like to cover a lot of POC people, and I'm now reaching out to other mostly you're gonna see is Hispanics, but now I'm reaching out to other ethnicities and other
communities. Yeah.
So I mean, good variety. And touching upon that Patreon. People, you guys are doing great with that Patreon, but Fray Papita just mentioned, she's in debt, we could all use that money. So go to patreon.com/CYC podcast and pretty much invest on yourselves. Like, you guys listen to every week, you devote an hour or two, pay a dollar or two and get some content that you guys could be part of, because they do have one where you guys could choose what episode topic you get or what topic you want discussed on the episode. So if you guys have any ideas for a show, don't be shy, go ahead and slide on that Patreon account, put your credit card, and then slide into the DMs,
let us know.
So
and I gotta know. I also think we've been inspired by you and how hard you sell your merch, and I think we're relaunching our teespring.com/CYC podcast. So you guys can get CYC merch. We're gonna get some more designs and more options and stuff on there, so that you guys can buy stuff and rep us. And if you have design ideas, hit us up.
Yeah. And then a plug for me, I also have, and I gotta mention this, I don't make money off of my, so I have a Pride shirt that I made for Pride Month. And all that money isn't for me. I'm gonna donate all that money to a LGBTQ+. I know I'm missing some
letters. No, you're good. You said plus.
The plus word.
And community. So all that money that I make, it's for them. Don't think that I'm gonna make this money. I'm trying to profit off of a community. I just want to make that public that I don't make any money off of that. So I'm wearing the shirt right now. So I don't know if we take a picture.
Hey.
So I wore it specifically so you guys could see, it's the logo, my logo, but that money is just basically, it's going to be given to people that could use it. You know, obviously I could use it, but I don't want to like
profit from a different community.
I don't belong, you know. Yeah. So yeah, and like she mentioned, like my dad mentioned, like I'm on teespring.com and there I have the Pride t-shirts and I have other ones, but the one that applies to here is the Pride shirt because I really want, I haven't sold many of those and kind of makes me a little sad that, you know, like I want to be able to donate some money, but it just makes it seem like trying to profit of a community that I don't belong to. I just wanted to get that out there. So you guys enjoy the episode, my podcast, and you guys want to throw some money, and that money's going to go to people that actually need it. So you pretty much are helping people by purchasing the products.
So everybody follow Let Me Know Pod on Instagram, stars. On Twitter, on iTunes. Are you on Spotify?
I'm everywhere.
Yeah.
He's a San Pedro Terry Gross, y'all. He's out here interviewing everybody.
Yeah. Well, I and try.
How many episodes do you have an episode every week, right?
Yeah, but like lately I've been sick, so I had to cancel on some people. But right now I'm ahead 2 episodes, so hopefully we could keep it that way. So if you guys have any suggestions of people I should bring on that you guys could want to recommend, like feel free to go on Let Me Know Pod on Instagram. That's LEM, not LET, because if you put a T it won't send you anywhere. All right, maybe I should buy that, or maybe I should get that hashtag Let Me Know hashtag account. Let Me Know. Yeah, so a little like about the name of the show. So it's Let Me Know because my last name is Lem. And like I had to use it, so it was kind of clever. I thought of it, I was like, well, that's pretty clever, you know. I've never had to use for my last name, so like I thought, let's use it now. And no, the no part is basically what I'm doing. I'm getting to know people, like more about themselves, what they do and why they do it. And I think that's why it's very important. Like my podcast, like that's why I created it, so I could bring people like CYC podcast, Viva La Round Girls, and like I had Eder from
the Pueblo Católico.
Yeah, and then I've had other people in the community that I feel like really proud of what they're doing. Like I know I shouldn't be proud of it, but like I like to see that they're trying to make a difference out here, or they're trying to tackle different subjects and topics that they're not really being addressed. So you know, I use my platform for good, and at the same time I get to know people, so that's a plus
for sure.
Yes, yeah. Shouts out to you. Five stars
yeah.
Only guys.
Yeah, go leave reviews, guys. It's very important. It's free, and all it's gonna take is a couple seconds of your life, and you guys waste that on Instagram anyway, so might as well put some
ooh, I feel that.
Yeah. Call out culture. Yeah. Yeah, so before we completely end the episode, I do want to say that this is going to be the first... Angel's basically, even though he's technically interviewing us, he's the first guest of many that are going to be spread out over the next... probably like the next 2 months or so. So we're still going to... you know, keep it current, and we're gonna not make every single week an interview, but you're gonna hear from some amazing people, including Eder from the Pueblo Católico Ike, and a bunch of other really cool
bunch
people,
of other so. Amazing friends.
Yes, just great, super smart people.
And if you could like do me a favor, guys, slide into his DMs and tell him that LFC sucks. You don't
shade.
Have to, but
shade. I have no
he
idea.
To this one. I like him, but not, you know, you can't save him all. I've tried bringing him to the light side, to like the LA Galaxy, that's I'm a fan of. And I tried bringing him in. I brought my dad. I took it to the game. Unfortunately, they lost, which I was kind of sad. Like, man, it's her first game, Pride. And they lost, so I was disappointed on them. But still, like,
it was still a good time. Yeah. It's whatever. We don't win all of them.
Yeah, so it's still better than LAFC. So I just want to make that clear. I know people in Texas don't care, but no. Still.
I'm like, we like the other football.
Yeah. Well, whatever.
So any last parting words?
No, yeah. Just thanks for being here, and... make sure you rate, review, subscribe. 5 stars for both of us. 5 stars only. You can follow me at Fried Papita.
I'm at Maite Panda, MYTE Panda, on Twitter and Instagram.
And I'm at Let Me Know Pod everywhere. And thank you guys for having me and letting me do this for you again.
Thanks. Gang, and like gang. I said, go listen to the episode where I interview Angel. That shit's fucking interesting.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, bye, guys.
Bye.
Bye.